to stand up at least once an hour. And I do that by drinking a heck of a lot of water. You have to drink a lot of water. You have to use the bathroom.
Yeah, that's
and
a
I
good
suggest
tip.
That you go to the bathroom that's far, as far as away as possible from your desk. So if you have a bathroom on the first floor, or you can go to a neighbor's house and use their bathroom, or if you're in the office.
Build an outhouse.
No. go or walk around your house once, or do the stairs a couple times. And then the other thing you do is every time you sit, stand and sit 10 times before you sit fully. Because that one little shift will give you that little bit of extra movement that you would normally do if you were physically in the office. And hopefully that'll at least get your ball rolling back in the right direction.
Right. And I think also people that are doing these back-to-back meetings, you're like, I'm hungry. I've only got 3 minutes. So you run to the fridge and, stuff your face with a bar or whatever's in the door or in the whatever, or, you know, chug a Coke or what, you know what I mean? So I think that's not a good plan either. Like you need to like do your chopping your carrot sticks and have those, right? Or I don't know. I mean, what do you recommend? You're the expert. So, I mean.
Yeah. I would suggest putting time on your calendar every day. A little more time on your calendar makes a huge difference. So I personally schedule my workouts on my calendar. Yeah. And I also schedule lunch, because there's days where if I don't schedule a lunch, that I don't take one. Because when everybody has your scheduling link and can get on your calendar and book whenever they want, you really need to find that time to pause. So
right. No, because I mean, like I said before, you take time for what you make time for. So I like to work out in the morning, like not in the wee hours of the morning, but my ideal workout time is like 8, 9 o'clock or whatever. And I don't do anything else until I do that. I check it off the list. Sometimes I don't want to do it, or I'm like not in the mood or whatever. But I'm like, you know, once I get it done, then everything's clear. My mind clears, my endorphins are going. I'm like, yeah, I'm good to go. But it's a habit.
Yeah, it's definitely a habit, and habits take time. Some people say that they take two weeks to form. Other studies suggest that it can take 18 months for it to form.
Oh, yeah, it depends.
So
yeah.
Every body is different. So I would suggest that if you don't know your body, you know, write a list of what's important, of why you want to get to the goal, and start with that. I actually wrote a book called Commit to Succeed by Getting Smart. And it goes through the steps that I use with my clients of being able to say, listen, where you have to start, if you don't know where the heck you're going, it's like going to the shore, putting it into your GPS. You might have a general idea of how to get there, but if you go street by street, it's going to take you a long time. If you know exactly where the destination is, it's a lot easier to get there, and it's a lot easier to backtrack the turn-by-turn direction, so to speak.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, thanks. Have a goal, and yeah. So how can people get your book? Is it on the website, or how do they get it?
So if they want to get the book right now, it's only an ebook version. So if they wanted to learn about that, they could email me, and I can forward them a link of how to. It's a really long URL.
All right, what's your email?
So my email is LMM, or Larry Michael, at fitnessknocking.com. So LMM at fitnessknocking.com.
Okay, well, check out the book. Take a look at that. Go to, what's your website? Fitnessknocking.com. Yeah,
website is fitnessknocking.com. Okay. And email is lmm at fitnessknocking.com.
Okay, so go to the website or email Lois, and we'll be right back in a couple minutes.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Help make your community safer. Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers is a community-based program aimed at making our community safer by providing an avenue for citizens to anonymously report criminal activity. It provides monetary rewards if the information leads to an arrest and indictment. See something, say something, and get cash for your anonymous tip. Call or text 1-800-321-0010 or go online to www.crimestoppershunterdon.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on 100 in Chamber Radio. You can find us on Facebook today at Happy 100 in or look up Happy to Help. And we are talking today with Lois Manzella Marquito. She is the founder of Fitness Knocking. She has all kinds of good ideas for you to be able to drop that COVID 15, 20, or 30, whatever it is. And also just to, you know, we need to celebrate self-care because that's how we stay grounded. And if you take care of yourself first, then you have more energy to do everything else that you want to do in your life. So we were talking a little bit, you know, she's got little kids, I've had little kids, and one of the difficult things I think for new moms is finding time for yourself when you're not sleeping and your life is turned upside down and you've got like people on your lap and people tugging at you and everything else. So if you're a new mom, what would you recommend like new moms do to exercise or take care of themselves?
Well, that's a really great question. So this morning, actually, I was on my way here and talking to a client of mine who is 38 weeks pregnant. So she's like TikTok, like right at the end. And she's like, I'm not sleeping. I don't know what to do. So I gave her some tips about, you know, how to place her pillows and stuff like that. And then, of course, we kept chatting because that's what moms do. We chat about pregnancy. We chat about breastfeeding. We chat about everything. And I said to her, I'm like, your job, your sole job when that baby is born is to feed the baby and sleep when the baby sleeps. That's your only job. Everything else, the laundry, job, you know, any other household chores, going shopping, all of that stuff, give it to somebody else to do and just focus on you. Because when you're focused on you, then you can be the best mom that you can be. When you're spread too thin, that's where the problems happen. And that's where the fear comes into play and a lot of the emotional, which, you know, there's only good emotions. So when you're not feeling so great, talk about it. Get it out. Talk to someone that is important to you that you can be honest and release all of those emotions out. Because as Robert Frost said, who is an amazing poet, said, the only way out is through. So you have to go through the emotions to feel good, but you got to put your mask on first, so to speak, right? So whether if you're on an airplane, they tell you you have to put your mask on before the person next to you. Well, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be the best mom that you can be. You're not going to be the best dad you can be because you can't serve others until you serve yourself first.
Well put. And that's a good idea. It's hard to do though when you're a new mom. Like, well, I got to check email and I got to do this and whatever. And I get it. But you also touched on another thing, was emotions, feeling your emotions, talking about your emotions, but there's a lot of emotional eating that goes on, right?
Oh my gosh.
How do you deal with that?
There's so much emotional eating that's going on here. And, you know, a lot of the time when people don't realize that they're emotionally eating, that's the first step. So figuring out what the emotional eating is about and address that first. A good friend of mine, her name is Kathy Degatti. She's a nutritionist. She says that people are looking for the sweetness in life through food a lot of the time. So you're looking for the sweetness in the cookie or the cake or the chips or the pizza or whatever, and you're not looking to the sweetness in life. So when you find the sweetnesses, the minor sweetnesses, whether it's looking at your beautiful baby that you're just having in 2 weeks from now, or whether it's looking at your 12-year-old or your 8-year-old and saying, wow, that was a really great game that you had today. I'm so proud of you, and enjoying and relishing in that sweetness, you'll find more sweetnesses in life if you look for them and you pay attention to the gratitude that you have, but also paying attention to if you're not feeling like that and you're feeling self-pity or you're feeling angry or, you know, this time with COVID, a lot of people have finally said, oh my gosh, you know what? I've been angry for a decade. And that's why I've been eating the way I've been eating. I'm not paying attention to how I'm eating. I'm not putting the fork down in between bites. I'm not even chewing. Like you said before, you know, 3 minutes for lunch, just not
enough.
Shove
it in. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, your stomach doesn't have teeth. So, so you really need to use what our bodies have to your disposal and pay attention. You know, chew your food is being mindful, being in the moment, saying, you know, I got to chew my food 20, 30, 40 times until it's completely emaciated and then swallow. If you just did that, you'd eat less. And when you eat less, you're going to lose the COVID 15, right. 20, 30.
Yeah. Well, and if you focus on chewing, you have to focus on it, and then it's more easily digestible and you're not getting the gas and you're not, you know, it's easier. Yeah. If you just focus on chewing, that's like step one, and that you're going to chew anyway. So, right.
Yeah. And most adults only chew 2 to 3 times before they swallow.
Wow.
So you can imagine the lack of nutrition that they're getting, even if they're eating a salad or something that's like kale or a smoothie or something that's healthy, they're not even paying attention to, there are bits in your smoothie that you could chew more before you swallow them. But that's probably one of the being more mindful of how you eat and being more intuitive, listening to your body. If your stomach, I'm not a nutritionist and I never claim to be one, but every nutritionist and every dietitian I collaborate with, they all say the same thing. If you're not paying attention to how you're eating, that's the first thing you should start with. Mm-hmm. So paying attention to the feelings or the emotions behind what you're eating first. And then if you truly are hungry, then eat. If you're not hungry and you're wanting to eat because you're bored or you're angry or you're feeling sorry for yourself because your boss pissed you off, like find what that is, release the emotion, and then go, okay, am I really hungry? No, I'm angry right now. Okay, what do I do with the anger?
Punch the wall.
go talk to whoever you're angry with. Or if you can't do that because you don't want to piss off your boss.
Yeah. Write in your journal. Way. Write it down.
Write it out. Talk it out. Talk to a trusted person.
Vent it out.
Vent it. Get it out. Because if you're not, you're going to stuff those emotions. And if you're stuffing them with food, ultimately, it's not going to be the best situation for your body. Or drinking them. I see a lot of people doing that too.
Oh, yeah. 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 So you just also mentioned collaboration. So you collaborate with registered dietitians and other people. And then also you collaborate with a lot of other businesses, right?
I collaborate. I'm a serial networker.
Me too.
I love helping people. I was kind of born to network. I didn't even know what networking was.
Well, you're so shy and withdrawn. So just kidding.
So fun. Well, that's how we met, right?
I know. Right?
We met networking at Burnsville Area Networking Group, a.k.a. Bang.
Bang, bang. I know. We need to get together with the Bang Gang again. But anyway.
Yeah. I love chatting with other kinds of health professionals. So I love talking to doctors. I collaborate a lot with physical therapists because as an exercise expert, a lot of physical therapists don't have someone to turn their clients over to or their patients over to post-rehab. And we specialize in working with postpartum. We specialize in working with people who are, of course, pregnant while they're in pregnancy. That's really important to stay active. But then post-rehab. So if somebody is feeling like achy, hips, knees, back, shoulders, we can continue the progressions that the physical therapist recommended and do it in a safe way so that when they progress, they're going to stay safe.
Right, and I also, you partner with not just those types of industries, but the LinkedIn guy. So I LinkedIn with the LinkedIn guy.
Yeah, LinkedIn guy, Gilbert Abraham. He's a sweetheart and a good friend of mine. I love collaborating with all different kinds of businesses because we all know someone that is having and struggling at some point. So why not?
We all have bodies we need to move, right? Yeah. Regardless of what business we're in, right? So
absolutely.
I think that's wonderful. And, I mean, you're answering a lot of good questions today, but the other, thing that you have on your website is the Ask Lois section, right?
So. So I have a vlog, I like to call it, where I answer questions that people have from the community. I had it going for a really long time. And right now I'm just going by what people email me in or random questions that people ask. So they can find me. Like, I usually do it on Thursdays at 1. That's usually my time that I'm usually on. But they can always watch. I have probably a few hundred. There's a bunch now. Yeah. Of all different questions and all different topics that are helpful and will hopefully guide someone to be able to feel better. Ultimately, why are we here? Just to have fun. So, my opinion.
Right. Yes, right. Well, and if you're going to binge watch something, why don't you binge watch Ask Lois, right? Yeah. There's a lot of good tips.
Yeah, binge watch Ask Lois for sure.
That's
There's
good.
Always good. There's at least 3 or 4 takeaways from each video that we do, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's great. And you said, you know, we're here to have fun. And I also always advocate that we're more fulfilled and we have fun and when we work together and we're here to help each other. And so I'm obviously the big proponent of giving back and doing for others and helping out.
Me too.
And I noticed you recently collaborated with Roots and Wings.
I love Roots and Wings.
I know. So tell us about what Roots and Wings is, why you love them, and what the hike you did.
Oh, yeah. So we just did a hike a couple weeks ago where we raised $10,000 for the charity, which was really, really cool. And I got introduced to Roots and Wings through the Morris County Chamber of Commerce. We were doing a philanthropy program with Jay Weissman. And wow, oh my goodness. Like, it was such a crazy thing to go through, but he brought us through this entire program where we got to pick through a couple hundred different charities and where we were going to be working with them through some kind of project. And I got to learn quite a bit about Roots and Wings last summer. And we wound up doing, in the fall, we wound up doing it was a 9-week health and wellness program where every week we had a health professional or two talking to the Roots and Wings youth about a health and wellness topic. So Roots and Wings, just so you know, if you didn't know about them, they help aged out foster care children who are now adults officially and no longer are able to get services. And a lot of the time those children or young adults end up in corrections. They end up abusing some kind of substance because they don't have that guidance that people that have a mom and dad that are always there, or even one guardian that are always there, they don't have that support system. So Roots and Wings gives them the quote unquote roots and then the wings to fly and be productive members of society, and gives them the tools that they can. So I love, when I heard about them, it just like hit me right in the chest going, oh my gosh, you don't realize how many. I mean, we have, I think in New Jersey, we have somewhere between like 600 and 900 young people aging out of foster care every year. It just right here in our state, mm-hmm. all of those young people need a support system. They need to have someone that's helping them through simple things like how to cook a meal or what to eat or where to buy, how to buy groceries, how to eat within a budget, mm-hmm. And all those types of things, and how to exercise for yourself. So, and those are things that there maybe have been taught in school, but you know, when you're in high school, as much as you want to, you think that they're paying attention, you know, they might miss one little thing and there's no reiteration at home. So right. I love the Roots and Wings philosophy and I love working with them. But through this hike, we had 70 people that came, which is really cool. And we raised $10,000. And then we have another event, if I can talk about it, if that's
absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Coming up in September, we're going to have, it's called Self-Care Saturday, where it's an all-day event. It's going to be at Garner Field in Denville, which is up in Morris County. And it's going to be an all-day event. And people can find out more about that. I'll be posting that on social media probably sometime in June. But I can share it with you, Nicole, and you can post it out if you want.
Yeah. And what are your handles? Are you on Twitter and Instagram?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Alignable, all at Fitness Knocking.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, no, and you talked about these kids, and I've been to the Roots and Wings. They usually have an author luncheon every year, and I've been to it's an incredible luncheon. And this year it was virtual, but
yeah,
it's an incredible luncheon, and it's a wonderful cause. And I've asked them to be on the show, but I haven't, you know, whatever. I've got a long list of people to be on the show.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, though, is, I mean, of course, these students, these young people are dealing with all kinds of issues, and school teaches them academics, but the one thing lacking, I think, for a lot of kids these days is life skills.
Yeah.
You need the life skills.
Yeah,
and those
absolutely.
Aren't, you know, a given, aren't necessarily taught, whether you're at home or not at home or have folks or no, don't have, you know. So, right. you know, that Roots and Wings helps kind of helps guide them through life, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And it gives them that support system, because then they not only have the Roots and Wings staff, but they also have the Roots and Wings, other Roots and Wings young people to bounce ideas off of. And they become like a little family with each other. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the hope of Roots and Wings is to be able to keep those relationships going. And they have a mentorship program if people want to get involved in that. So there's a lot of opportunity to help young people right here in New Jersey that are, that really ultimately would be so much better off by having more supporters and donors. So if you have any interest in that, you can look at rootsandwings.org.
Yeah. Right. And I hear you that there's plenty of people in New Jersey that need help. And I think that's wonderful. And my whole goal with this show is to say, there's so many ways you can help, local or global or simple or donate or whatever. Cause we just took a picture because, as I'm a Room to Read New Jersey chapter leader, and we advocate for education of girls around the globe for kids who don't have electricity, don't have running water, don't have access to education. And so we, for the month of May, are doing the Step Up for Gender Equality, and just $300 keeps a girl in school for an entire year, and they teach goal setting and life skills. So so there's local places you can go, but there's also, you can have a huge impact with a small amount of money globally. So it's just whatever, what you know, like you said, you were just affected by the story of Roots and Wings, and you glommed on. So you know what what excites you? What can you relate to? And I'm excited about Girl Scouts. I'm excited about Room to Read. I'm excited about like every single guest that comes on the show and all the things we talk about. So so there's plenty of ways to get involved and help out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can always find something that resonates with you. And if you're not sure, there's I mean, you can go to your local chamber. I'm sure the Hunterdon Chamber, this chamber has resources that you can look at their list, just like the Morris County Chamber. There's hundreds. And you can go and just like read through the list and go, oh my gosh, this is their mission. That sounds really good to me. And just get involved that way. You don't have to have millions of dollars to participate in something. You could, you know, participate just an hour a month even.
Yep, an hour. That's what I advertise, an hour or two a month.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's one way to do it. You can look at a list. But the other thing I talk about too is like, if you don't know, if you haven't found your purpose, maybe you should find your people. Yeah. So if you, you know, if you're talking to your neighbors or the people within your church or your parish or your coworkers or friends, what are they doing and what are they psyched about? And maybe you just want to do it because you're doing it with your friend or your coworker. So there's different ways to go about it. And I was just talking to some guy yesterday who's he's retiring, but he's like, I'm looking for my purpose and I can't find it. And I, you know, but as long as you're open to it, it'll come to you. You gotta have faith. So,
Yeah. And I think that goes back to the whole circling back to self-care. When you are realizing that, not to say you're better off than most people, but if you have running water in your home, and you have a roof over your head and you have clothes on your back, you're doing pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So stop worrying about all the stupid stuff on the day-to-day that really, in the ultimate grand scheme of things, if you take a satellite view of your life, really doesn't matter. And then you can stop eating for those reasons.
That's right. I mean, what motivates you, right?
Yep.
Right. Well, the other thing I love to talk about too, and you said you do this as your business. It fits in with your business. You had a personal attachment to it because it resonated with you, and you were able to offer this hike for your business and support them. So, does giving back within your business help your business?
Oh yeah, totally, absolutely. I think it gives me. Honestly, I like having that internal purpose. I love helping nonprofits. Roots and Wings is one of several nonprofits that I've helped just even in the last year, doing different like smaller events for. But I love the opportunity of getting to know people within the Roots and Wings community, but then all of their, they have lots of people who donate lots and lots of money to them, and then getting in front of them and having conversations about Roots and Wings, but then also having conversations about life. And then when you have a conversation about life, sometimes people will say, oh gosh, I love what you did for them today. Would you potentially work with me one-on-one? And that's where that business comes in. And it's not forced. It's warm. It's helpful. It's gushy. It's like a big hug. You know, it's not like a cold sell where you're randomly calling thousands of people a day. And, you know, my new business development manager, my goal with her is to teach her how to get people to know her, how to get people to like her, how to get people to trust her. And then eventually, if they come across someone that needs our service, she can help them serve her and serve her, that person's friend or family member, by working together and getting them better on their journey.
Right. The age-old adage, know, like, and trust. Yeah. People do business with those they know, like, and trust.
Absolutely.
Right? So, and if it comes from a place of authenticity, yeah, then in its relationships and things like that. So, you know, people know when you're not being genuine. So yeah, that, you know, you can sense that a mile away. So
yeah, I learned that from my business coach. I worked with Chris Lipper for, gosh.
Oh, Chris.
Almost 5 years we worked together. We just, I felt like, you know what? Wow, like, I learned so much from you. I'm good. Like, I feel good about where I am with my business. But he taught me so much about networking. He was the first person that told me about networking. I didn't even know what it was when I met him.
Yeah. And he's another Bang member.
He's another Bang member.
And does he still do On the Bus?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. His program is up and running and going really well, I think. And I think he moved recently up to Woodstock.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I want to, that's on my summer bucket list, is to go to the Woodstock Museum if it's open.
Yeah.
I know it was closed, but that's one of the, it's only a couple hours away. So yeah, that's, yeah. Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Because they just hit the 50th anniversary, I think, a couple years ago, or I don't know. All right. Well, that's good. Well, let's go back to, why don't we, talking about business and doing things good for your business. You work with businesses and offering corporate classes and seminars. So why don't you tell us about that? Because it would be wonderful to have one here at the Entrepreneurial Center in Hunterdon.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about that for sure. So we work with a lot of different companies. We work with a bunch of pharmaceutical companies. Right now we're starting a program, our second part of a ongoing program with 9 different municipalities in New Jersey, where we're doing ongoing wellness coaching. So we're doing one-on-one coaching with them. In the fall, we did a bunch of health and wellness seminars. So all different types of topics, like managing stress and getting rid of stress for good. We talked about having to be able to work out at home. So we did the fit at home theory that is a very, it's a very easy theory to understand, but I broke that down in a workshop. I think those were probably the two more popular of the talks that we did, but we had a whole series that we did. I have it can be either 13 weeks or 13 month program. That's a whole curriculum that's built out for corporations to work with us in a seminar format, where they're interactive seminars and they can be done virtually or in person. And I worked with a pharmaceutical company where we had clients over in Switzerland and East Asia and Australia. So that was really cool. And they work with us virtually, so it didn't matter that they were across the globe. But then we also offer fitness classes for corporations, where they can pick from the different kinds of classes we offer. We offer everything from yoga to Pilates to even chair yoga. We do a senior class, like silver sneakers type of class. And then we can do a boot camp type class if that's what the team is looking for like a bringing people together type of program. And then, of course, one-on-one. We do a lot of one-on-one with companies because, honestly, especially right now, people want to feel important. And that's a good way of employers to give to their employees, hey, we think you're important. And we know that your health is important. So if you take some time for you, and they're giving them the work time, to not give them more work, but to say, here, take this time off and do this program. This is going to help you to focus around you, because a lot of the companies that are working in that way are noticing that their employees are more productive.
Yeah, and less sick, right?
Yeah. And less sick because they're taking care of themselves, right, and they're paying attention to their body's rhythms.
Yeah.
And they're taking off for lunch, and they're using the bathroom as needed, and not holding it for 7 hours, or not drinking, or just, you know, running from 8 o'clock until 1 o'clock on a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
They're giving them permission to take a pause. And when they give them the permission, they actually do. Because if they watch the C-suite or the CEOs of a company taking the time for themselves, then, you know, it's just like our kids. They don't learn by what we tell them.
Yeah.
They learn by what they see us doing. Yes, exactly. And, you know, going back to self-care, you know, as a mom, you know, they're, you can tell them 100 times, don't eat, don't drink, don't. All they're hearing is do. Our brains don't hear negation. They only hear what they want to hear. And so if you want a child to not run, you don't say, don't run. You tell them, walk.
Very good.
If you want them to eat fruits and vegetables, serve it to them.
Well, that's another hard. Yeah, no, but that, I mean, that's another hard thing too. Is the cooking? Like, you know, it's just so hard with the. I mean, I love to cook. I've, you know, done the Room to Read cookbook. I'm cooking all the time. And but how do you get families to cook better, or how do they start? Because I mean, cooking for yourself is definitely an easy way to help improve your health, right? If you're not eating takeout and restaurant food and fast food. So what do you advise for clients for that?
Well, when it comes to food, again, I'm not a nutrition expert.
Right.
I do know quite a bit about it. But I like to suggest that people, if you have the ability and the room in your backyard, if you have a backyard or a porch or somewhere where you can grow some stuff, it's cool to get the kids involved. Like right now, my kids are growing sunflower seeds. We have parsley, we have basil, we have a whole bunch of different herbs growing, and I get them involved in the cooking process, and then they want to try it. Even if they don't like it, they at least try it because they helped prepare it. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. And you know what? Then the mom or the dad, whoever's cooking, doesn't feel as like, oh, everybody's sitting on their phones watching me cook.
I know.
Or sitting on their device, not paying attention in the other room. It becomes a conversation. Like some of the random conversations that I have with my kids are usually at my kitchen island.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, everyone's in the kitchen all the time, right? Every party, everyone's in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, I make them chop things up, and they've been holding a knife appropriately and carefully, of course, since they're, you know, they're 8 now, but since they were 4, I've had them chopping up vegetables and helping cook. Even if it's just throwing stuff into the pot, it helps that togetherness starts while you're making a meal together. And it doesn't have to be every day, every meal. I mean, I get it. My son is going to baseball. Goodness, I feel like every day.
Yeah, no, the sports can take over pretty easily. Yeah.
And it's hard. So my husband and I, we talk about it. And if I can't cook, he'll cook. So there's communication there. And, you know, we order pizza once a week. Whatever. But the rest of the day but we always make sure we have some kind of veg or 2 or 3. So we're not eating like 5 pizzas. We're eating a pizza between the 4 of us.
Yeah, no, and it's hard. And my kids, as they grow, then, you know, I would cook the main dinner, but then they always want second dinner at like 9 o'clock. And I'm like, well, you're on your own, you know, fry an egg, do something, find something, eat cereal for all I care. But I mean, as they get older, then they eat basically all the time. So I try and get them to eat a few healthy things, and then the rest is just
whatever. Not be so obsessed about it, and have a lot of things prepared. I mean, there are services that if you don't have time to cook, I mean, you have to think about what's it costing you not to make the time.
Yeah, and also we were able to. My one son was at college and in an apartment and everything, and he just is a fast food junkie, like eats fast food constantly. And so what we were able to do is I sent him a HelloFresh box. And so he was eating better, and he and his roommates cooked. So he's learning all these skills that are lifelong skills.
Yep.
So he's a guy, and you know, and I think guys that can cook get more girls too.
Heck
so
yeah.
like,
you're preparing and have a really good relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Having a partnership when you're in a relationship is it's not his job and her job, or her job and her job, or his job. job and his job. It's our house. It's our relationship. Everybody eats. Everybody helps. Everybody helps clean up. Everybody lives in the house. Everybody uses the bathroom. Everybody helps. So having that open dialogue and the whole gender roles, you know, I certainly don't agree with gender roles, but
yeah, well, it's breaking out of stereotypes, right? I mean, most people just do what they grew up with or what the, you know,
right.
And I think some of that's shifting, especially now with because the pandemic has thrown everybody together and you realize who does what and how hard it is and all that. So
and
hopefully.
Everybody, and nowadays, I mean, it's almost uncommon to find a family where there's only one person working. Or only one person working one job. So having that open dialogue is so, I mean, it's saved my marriage, having that open dialogue. Yeah.
No, and that goes back to just communication, psychology, whether it's losing weight or getting fit or enhancing your relationships. And, I mean, it's all communication.
Totally.
But it's hard. It doesn't come easily to a lot of people.
No, absolutely not. And we're basically on the same path that our parents were on unless we choose a different one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in my opinion, you know, the mentals are the fundamentals.
That's a good one.
That's something that I've been saying for 20 years. If your mind is not in a good headspace, so to speak, nothing else is going to really fit in very well. And relationships are not always easy. So whether it's with your kids or whether it's with your partner or whether it's with your colleagues at work or whether it's with your team at work, it's really important to have that open dialogue and start with what you want. Start with the end goal in mind. Whether it's a personal goal or a business goal, start with the end. Think about what you want to happen. Talk about that first, and then talk about what went wrong, and then talk about ways to get to that end goal again. Because if you do that, you sandwich it, makes it better, and ultimately you can get to the goal much faster, even if it's just, you know what, I don't like the way that you talked to me before. That wasn't very nice. I didn't appreciate it. Made me angry. And when you said something like that, it made me feel bad about myself, and I wanted to go eat.
Yeah.
Or I wanted to, like, go and have a glass of wine or something like that instead of talk. And you can talk about that. And, hey, do I drink? Yes, I do. Absolutely. Do I eat pizza? Uh-huh. Do I eat ice cream? Uh-huh. Usually I make it, but sometimes I get it out. You can have a balance in life and still get to your goals and stay at your goals. But at the same time, you have to realize that if you're eating for the wrong reasons or you're drinking for the wrong reasons, that there could be something else. And if you think about what's happening in your mind first, oh gosh, I'm not hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm pissed.
Anger's pretty powerful, right? Anger.
Yeah. And if you're really powerful, you're going to either eat it or suppress it. It's going to come out one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So you might as well let it out when it's happening.
Good advice. Nice. Good advice. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business. One business at a time.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunter and Chamber Radio. We're on at 11 a.m. to 12 noon every Wednesday, and we're here today talking with Lois Manzella Marquito. She is the founder of Fitness Knocking, and we've gotten into everything, relationships. What is her favorite saying? The mentals are the fundamentals. Yes, we're gonna quote that. And she's been doing this a long time. She's vivacious and energetic and very fun. And we are going to talk about what if you've gained that COVID 15, 20, or you just want to have a better life, or you want a happier life, or want to have been thinking about a fitness program, but where to start, where to begin, how to begin, what do you do? So if you were to talk to Lois or one of her trainers, like, how would you onboard somebody new thinking about, like, where do I start?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? The where do we start question is it's really hard to make a decision to make a shift. And we typically, when we bring on a new client, we start with the end. We start with, where the heck are you going? Why are we here? What made you get to this position first? So we start with an evaluation. Our evaluation is a 75-minute appointment. So it's pretty in-depth. We send our clients a form that they need to fill out prior to the appointment, and they give us a whole bunch of information. They tell us about their family history. They tell us about what's made this a priority now. They tell us about what's ailing them, if they have any diseases or any illnesses that they want to tell us about. We talk about their medication. We talk about any physical restrictions that they have. I mean, so many people right now, because we're sitting so much, have back problems and everything hurts on the backside of their body because of the way they're sitting at their desk. So we talk about all of that. We also talk about what they're eating and if there's a potential way that we can help them by referral, referring out. We don't do any nutrition coaching on our end, but we refer out to that, or physical therapy or something like that. If I see something when I first do an evaluation, I'll refer them out first, especially if it's something that's physical. And then once they finish that part of the physical therapy, usually, if that's the route that we have to go, then they usually come back after that. But then we'll do a full physical assessment. So the physical assessment, if we're in person, we'll do a body fat screening. We'll find out what their skeletal muscle is and how much body fat, visceral fat that they have. We'll do a blood pressure screening if we're in person. We'll also check what their baseline heart rate is, their resting heart rate, because those are things that we can measure. And then we'll also, if the client would like us to do, we can do physical measurements as well, like bust, waist, those kinds of things. And then we'll do physical assessment where we take them through a series of 9 different functional movements. And some of them are for time. Some of them are just for range of motion. Some of them are checking balance and strength and a whole series of data. So once we get all of that data, you typically will make a recommendation. So if somebody is coming to us with a knee problem, as an example, we'll make sure that their feet are properly aligned, and we might go up the kinetic chain and see if there's any other things that could be causing that pain to begin with. And then we program around that. So we always find lots of strengths, and we always find a handful of weaknesses. And then we work through the weaknesses while continuing to develop the strengths, and we progress them over time. And it depends on the client. So some clients we work with several days a week where we're working with them and they're not exercising on their own at all. So we might be working with them 5 days a week. And then there's other clients who work with us once a month, or don't, you know, only work with us for a few weeks to kind of jumpstart them and get going. But everything is individual because every body is different. So when we look at someone's body and how it's functioning, we start with what's going to be safe, what's going to be effective, and ultimately getting to them to the results that they're looking for.
Right. And you've got, like you said, 16 trainers are on your staff. So how do you go about matching a trainer with your client? Like, how does that work?
That's a really good question. I typically will worry about making sure that the client and the trainer, the personality, is going to match. Because, frankly, you want to like the person that you're going to be spending that much time with. Even if you're only spending like 2 hours a week with them, you don't want them to, if you're a super like lower energy type of person, you don't necessarily want somebody who's going to scream and yell at you in your face. Or maybe you do. I don't know. I've had some very like calm and relaxed clients who ask for crazy boot camp type, you know, beat my butt trainers. Not very many. Most people ask for somebody who's going to work me hard, but not too hard. Be nice, but not too nice. Push me, but not too much. Like that fine balance. So we, during the evaluation, really get to know the client so that when we pair, most of the time we're pretty good about pairing. If it doesn't work out, then we try someone new. But with the invention of like Zoom and FaceTime on your iPhone, if you have that, like they can work with anybody on my team if they're willing to work virtually. And because we've been doing it for so long, we're really good at doing that, whether we're physically face-to-face in person or whether we're virtual, we can do the same thing. But I try to partner on personality first because, yeah, that's a big contributing factor why people don't stick with the trainer that they're working with. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. And you've got a go-go special, give one, get one, right? That's for referrals, right? If people refer. Right?
Yeah, so if someone refers us to a client that's an existing client or from someone from our network, they get one and the new client gets one. So it's like a give one. You're giving one to a friend or a family member and you get one as well if you're an existing client, and or if you're someone who is part of our network and would like to also give one, get one. That's a promo that we have for existing clients. But
do you have either like couples or friends that work out sometimes too with a trainer? Or no?
Sometimes it's a good fit and sometimes it's not a good fit. So I've been in situations where I've met, say it's a best friend couple or husband and wife couple. We've had a couple of them where the one partner really wants to work out and the other one is like, no, I don't want to do it. Don't make me. You're not going to make me, crossing their arms and stomping their feet. If that's the case, it's probably not a good fit, because if I find that one of the partners is really competitive and the other one is not competitive, what winds up happening is the competitive one takes over. Mm-hmm. And then the non-competitive one gets angry and they are not getting results because the one that is competitive is making all the progress and the one that's not competitive is not really seeing the results that they want. And then it winds up being a disaster. So I always do an evaluation separate. That way I get to know each of them separately, or my other staff member who does evaluations gets to know them separately first. And then sometimes we make a recommendation saying, yeah, you know what? You guys are going to work great together. It's going to be a lot of fun, but here are some things that we want you to look out for. And then other times we'll say, yeah, I don't know if this is going to be a good fit.
Well, you got to be honest up front, right?
Yeah.
Set the expectation.
I'm brutally honest.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's what people need to hear sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, we talked about how we love networking. And so how do you network? How do you get your business model out there, your business out there? What do you do to network that works for you?
Oh, I love networking. It's so much fun. I do a lot of different things. I am very involved in my local chamber in the Morris County Chamber of Commerce. I'm very involved there. I was pre-COVID involved in Bang and Mang and Pang at one point.
I don't even know. It's a franchise.
I think that's the goal of that, right?
Yeah.
Now it's Vang, Virtual Area Network.
Oh, there you go.
I'm very involved with a lot of different, in a lot of different places a little bit. But Morris County Chamber is where I spend a lot of my time. Because, I mean, honestly, it's a full-time job to network sometimes.
It is.
You can be so involved in so many different things. But I found my niche there, and I love the people there. I'm very well involved in the health and wellness community there, and I've developed a lot of great relationships and then have met a lot of people, believe it or not, on Alignable.
Yeah, I'm on that, but I just...
Lots of people I've met on Alignable. I've actually got my first client, a corporate client in Illinois, nice, from Alignable. over the summer that, you know, I wasn't really doing corporate virtually until the summer, and all of a sudden it kind of like blew up from there. And then they referred me to somebody, and they were a bariatric surgeon, and we did a workshop for them. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunity that's out there. I think you just have to like look for where you fit in and make that happen from there. But I've visited a lot of BNIs. I haven't found my niche there yet, but you know, I'm still looking.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you just got to try different things, and because yeah. I'm on Elevate, which is a global network of women business owners and women executives, female executives, so that's fun. I pop awesome. On some of those in Chicago and Boston, and so the one thing about everything going virtual is that you have a lot more access to different things.
Gosh, yeah, you could seriously be busy networking all the time.
Yes,
but my business coach, he told me to always have a goal when you're not. Work. So every time I do an event, my goal is to get 2 one-to-ones from every time I do an event. So that gives me an opportunity to meet at least 2 people. It's not a massive goal, but it's a big enough goal that I stay pretty busy networking. And then, of course, you have to follow up with all the people that you networked with. Otherwise, they forget about you and they don't remember your name. They might remember what you do, but they don't remember your name. So following up. And I use a CRM for that.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, half of life is showing up and the other half is following up, right? That's what I say.
Oh,
half
my gosh, that's such a good one. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to remember that one. Yeah. That's really I'm going to write that one. All right,
yes. Half of life is showing up and the other half is following up. That's what we need to tell the millennials and our kids and all that. So anyway, well, we certainly appreciate having you on today. We learned so much. And why don't you, again, do the shameless plug for, you know, your email, your website, and all that so people can know where to find you.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to learn about my book, Commit to Succeed by Getting Smart, I'll do a $9.95 promo. Normally it's $29. So if anybody wants to pick one of those copies up, they can email me at lmm@fitnessknocking.com. That's my personal email address, so please don't put me on any mailing list because I will unsubscribe.
Fair enough.
But by all means, do email me. I love connecting with other business owners, and my website is www.fitnessknocking.com.
Thank you so much, Lois. It was fun.
My pleasure.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As the Defund the Police movement is being pushed by lawmakers, violent crime in major U.S. cities is spiraling out of control. Murders are up 22% in New York City, up 50% in Atlanta, and murders are up 800% in Portland, Oregon. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki puts the blame on violent crime on the Trump White House.
There's actually been a rise in crime over the course of the last year since the start of the pandemic, which actually predates President Biden taking office. We're focused on solutions here, and that's why we proposed putting $5 billion in the American Jobs Plan to help address community violent intervention programs, to help fund them. That's also why we fought for funding for state and local governments in the rescue plan, something many opposed. There was a lot of Republican opposition to that. That's helped keep cops on the beat and other public servants.
USA Radio News.
Recently, Facebook announced its ban on former President Trump, but promised to review the ban in 6 months. Now, Newsmax wants to know if you think Trump should be back on Facebook. Vote in Newsmax's national poll and let us know your opinion. Just text the word North to 39747. That's North to 39747. It takes just seconds. Make your voice heard. We'll share poll results with the 30 million people who watch Newsmax TV. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel in America, with great recent guests like Donald Trump, Mike Huckabee, Franklin Graham, John Voight, Alan Dershowitz, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, and so many more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. So vote now in the Newsmax poll on Facebook's Trump ban. Just text North to 39747. Let Newsmax and America know your opinion.
More than one-third of the United States population is unprepared for retirement, a new poll by Technometrica, Institute of Policy and Politics found. A total of 36% of Americans do not have savings earmarked for retirement, and 38% plan to work beyond the age of 65. The percentage of people without retirement savings is highest among those earning less than $30,000 a year. The poll was conducted in April and did not disclose how many people were questioned. Reuters is reporting President Biden has decided to use imported metals to build electric vehicles in the United States. It's part of a plan to pacify environmentalists, two administration officials with direct knowledge told Reuters. In a follow-up, a suspicious package delivered to the home of U.S. Senator Rand Paul on Monday and reported to law enforcement had a powdery substance was found not to be dangerous in preliminary analysis. Tuesday, during an interview, Senator Rand Paul, the Republican from Kentucky, says he's tired of the double standard applied to the political right compared to the left on threats and violence. USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
This day in history, Flash, 1897. The first copies of the classic vampire novel, Dracula, by Irish writer Bram Stoker, appear in London bookshops. Stoker would go on to publish 17 novels in all, but it was his 1897 novel, Dracula, that eventually earned him literary fame. Flash, 1927. Henry Ford and his son Edsel drive the 15 millionth Model T Ford out of their factory, marking the famous automobile's official last day of production. Flash, 1907.
American opportunity has no limits, has been known to knock more than once. How about you very young people who see a tough life ahead? Well, when Lee surrendered to Grant at Appomattox, Booker T. Washington was a 9-year-old slave. Yet by the time he was 28, he became president of Tuskegee Institute. And at 8, Charles Lindbergh was flying a kite, wondering how it'd feel to be up that high. At 9, Burt Bacharach was thinking the piano lessons would never end. How many of you are pushing 50 and complaining that the country is going to Crispus Attucks was in his 40s when he died on State Street in Boston, fighting for the freedom that we share. And John F. Kennedy was 44 when he asked not what his country could do for him, but what he could do for his country.
Actor John Wayne, an icon of the American West, is born in Winterset, Iowa. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Bryant.